Welcome to Staying in the Black, a show about teachers and money. I'm Miss Black, a New York City educator, single mom, and personal finance translator. Join me as I build my runway to retirement. Each week, we'll share actionable steps, resources, and inspiration that educators can use to maximize their benefits and improve their personal finances. Staying in the Black means having more assets than liabilities and being able to pay off your debt without any problems. Stop living paycheck to paycheck and build a joyful life. Thank you for joining me. Hello and welcome to Staying in the Black. I'm Miss Black, your host, and today's episode is about fine, F-I-N-E. So what is fine, you may be asking? Like, you know, a pen that writes really thinly, or fine as you look good. Well, you know, we talk about money on this show, and this fine, F-I-N-E, is another financial acronym. So I recently read The Great Money Reset by Jill Schlesinger, so you'll probably be getting a review of that book shortly. But in the book, she mentions the fine method, which after some research, it seems like she is coining it. I'm not necessarily opposed to it, and it stands for financially independent new or next endeavor. So why is this a new term? How is it different from FIRE? And I find it really interesting because, you know, as a Generation X woman and a woman of color, when we often hear about the FIRE acronym, which is financially independent, retire early, a lot of us Generation Xers didn't find out about it until we were well in our 30s or 40s. And, you know, we look at it and we're like, yeah, that'll never happen, especially as educators where, you know, we may not have really large incomes. And by now, we have the golden handcuffs, which are a home, it may be a nice car, it may be children, and those things that require that we make a certain amount and to really be able to sock money away at the level that is necessary for a true FIRE, or let me not say true FIRE, but making, you know, 25 times our, you know, being able to invest or put away 25 times our yearly spending seems like an overwhelming task. But so the FINE method, so the FINE method kind of may appeal more to us. I've been having a lot of generational conversations lately, and as a Generation Xer, our parents, you know, they found jobs and they stayed at them for, you know, 20 to 30 years before they could retire. Our generation, we started the maybe we'll stay there for 10, you know, 5 to 10 years. Now we work with millennials who are looking to change positions every 2 to 3 years. And we've seen, and the data supports that if you want to increase your income, you know, significantly or substantially, you have to leave your current organization. I don't think that that necessarily works in education. Like, we're about culture and building relationships and work environments where students feel safe and loved and connected. And as an elementary school educator, I can say, you know, I get kids from, you know, 3 or 4 years old all the way until fifth grade, which is, you know, 10 or 11 years old. So it's 7 years, and it's wonderful to see those students come in a little hesitant or really excited and watch them blossom into, you know, individuals. So already, if it was just like you wanted to have a cycle of seeing your students go from pre-K to fifth grade, you would be at your school for minimally 7 years. However, depending on the type of school system you work in, I know that in some charter management organizations, they have, a really high rate of turnover, which means that their teachers are either seeking new schools or perhaps leaving the profession. But either way, I don't necessarily believe that the education, or at least the K-12 education area, really lends itself to this, 2 to 3 year turnover. And when it comes to the, so that's the FIRE method, right? Just trying to increase your income pretty rapidly so that you can sock this money away. The FIND method, however, looks at things differently. And I think that it's really probably more of a generational sort of thing, but I could see how, a Generation X, generation, I don't even know if Generation Y is a thing, or millennial, older millennial sort of thing, which is, you may be, your parents may be of the boomer generation, or depending on how they were when they had you, late Xer, and you, they learned lessons from their parents, and so they really encouraged you to stay, not so much stay at your job, but choose a profession that was going to bring you a stable income. That may be why you're in education or why you're in some other field. And the FIND method just says, okay, let's do the math and figure out. So you may have been able to put away a lot of money. You may not want to necessarily want to opt out of the workforce, and you may want to instead embark on your next chapter or your next endeavor or a new endeavor, whatever it is. It's not totally out of the workforce. And because you have a decent nest egg, you may be able to take a step, a leap into a new field, a new profession, or something that you really wanted to do while still earning an income and adding to that nest egg while you try your new endeavor. So it's really interesting. And so I finished the book last week and I really thought about it. And it's like, well, what's your new endeavor? Now, as you know, on Staying in the Black, we're tracking, or I'm sharing my journey to build my runway. And I, thought about, I think about it in the terms of being work optional. And if you want to, I definitely encourage you to listen to my episode where I review the book Work Optional, which I think is episode 90. And so if you go to Work 90, it just speaks about, like, okay, I've hit my FI number, my financial independence number, and now I am deciding when and where I work. In the FIND method or the FIND philosophy, you're choosing your next endeavor, and the thought is you're going to work on that next or new endeavor for quite some time, right? You're exploring, but you're going to be earning an income in its in some form or fashion. I think the difference between being work optional and your next endeavor is when you're work optional, you may be working on something that you're not earning an income from. Where in next endeavor, the thought is that you will be earning an income, whether entrepreneurially or by working in another field. And so, what I enjoyed about the book that I'll go more in depth in another episode is, if you think I want to go the next endeavor route, it may mean you don't need as much money in your retirement accounts as you thought, because that money will continue to grow. And because you will be earning additional income, you'll still be able to contribute to your retirement accounts. And so it's just kind of saying, I have enough that I can earn less, or invest. I have, money to invest in the next thing that I want to do, which could be you're an educator, but you really want it to be an actor. And so you are vested, or you have enough money. You think that you have enough money in your pension account. You may not qualify for a full pension, but you may feel like I have enough in this pension account that if I start making money off of acting, I can leave the educational field and pursue acting or real estate or whatever, you really had a passion about, but chose education because you knew that it was going to be stable, or that's what your friends and family thought that you would be good at. It's really a time to say, like, what's your passion? What did you really want to do that you've delayed to make a living, take care of your family, yourself, and or your family, and now you're just, I have enough money that I'll be okay if I stop working this job, but now I want to try something new, and explore it. So financial independence, right? This term is thrown around a lot. I, did some research again, and I keep looking because, every time I look, I get a different definition. But Investopedia classifies it as having enough wealth to live a life of comfort without the need to work. So in the FIND method, it's not that you don't need to work. It's that you're choosing to possibly not make as much as you have before. Or it could be like, you have enough, you have enough to live, hopefully at the level that you've become accustomed to, or you may have to cut some things out. So you might not take vacations as much. But that's what they mean in the FIND definition. And I'd love to speak to Jill Schlesinger about it. It's just kind of like you feel like I have enough. Now, I don't necessarily think of the word, the term financial independence. That's great, so you don't need to work. I kind of think of financially empowered. And I know that starts with an E, but it's being informed and skilled as to how to utilize the money to make financial decisions and access the resource to live your best life. So it's not so dependent on reaching like this specific number, but really just being aware of what your financial path looks like or roadmap looks like, and then being able to make decisions to say, oh, I want to do it this way or that way. So right now, when I look at my options as a New York City educator, I signed 2555 as part of my retirement plan, which meant I can work for 25 years, in which case I won't be 55, but I can technically say I've locked in my pension and now I'm going to pursue something else, knowing that I won't be able to collect that pension until I turn 55. And I know several people who worked for the Department of Education who did that. They turned 48 in some cases, or 40, somewhere between under 55, and they said, I'm going to leave the Department of Education because I've locked in the years that I need to do. And two of those people went off to be principals in other states, and they were like, I'll work the 7 years as a principal somewhere else, in the state that I want to retire in, or the place that I'm thinking about retiring in, or that my parents are in, and I want to be there for them. And then I'll collect my pension from New York City once I turn 55. Because they understood what their financial map or their numbers looked like, they were able to make that choice. So, again, the difference between the FINE, FINE method or theory, and the FIRE, FIRE method is, one is saying you have enough money to take on a new endeavor, start another chapter of your life, doing something that you're passionate about, that you may not need to earn as much money to have the retirement that you want to, because you have a sizable nest egg that with wise investment decisions, you will be okay. And then there is the FIRE method, which is financially independent, retire early method, which is, okay, I've met my financially independent number. I can retire, put my feet up, get in the hammock chair, and enjoy the rest of my life, pulling, 4% or less off of my nest egg. So let's say, the FIRE method piques your interest and you want to know, what do you have to do to, or what's the highest leverage action step that you can take to start or engage in the FIRE method? And that would be to look at your numbers. I feel like that's always the highest action step, but it's true. Knowing, like G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle. Sit down, look at all of your financial instruments and models and say, how much money do I have? If you work for the New York City Department of Education or in New York City Public Schools, as they're now called, you have a lot of resources available to you to help you figure this out. One of them is deferred compensation. During my lunch hour today, I actually sat in on one of their free classes. That's really helpful. And I've said this several times before, but I encourage you to utilize their financial evaluation, is where you can sit down and have a conversation with a certified financial planner, a CFP, which is really like one of the highest designations that you can get as a licensed person, but that service is free to you or at a nominal fee. And when I did it during the pandemic, I was able to not only give them my city account, being my 403B and my 457, but also my other real estate holdings, my son's 529 account, a budget of what, and they really gave me a comprehensive overview of my retirement and really informed the decisions that I make going forward. So you leave with a printed out report and you get to see all the numbers. The more honest you are and comprehensive you are in getting them the information that they need, the more comprehensive your package is. And this totally differs from a pension consultation, where that consultant is just looking at calculating, helping you calculate what your pension payment will be and filling out and submitting that paperwork. The financial evaluation through deferred compensation plan really helps you look at it not only through the lens of retirement, but your overall financial health. So I totally encourage you to Google NYC deferred comp, and it'll take you to the link and have that evaluation. So again, the FIRE method may be a method for you and make you feel better about possibly missing what you think, or you may not even, you think is I've missed or am unable to participate in the FIRE method. And the FIRE method may be better suited for you or your lifestyle. So I encourage you to learn more about it. I'll definitely address it when I review the book, Great Money Reset by Jill Schlesinger. Feel free to pick it up and read it. And if you don't, I'll be doing a great review of it, and you can hear my review, and that may make you want to purchase it, as I might be like your official book reader at this point. So thank you for listening. I look forward to speaking to you next week. Have a great one.
Thank you for joining us this week at Staying in the Black. Subscribe to make sure you never miss a show and visit our website at stayingintheblk.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at stayingintheblk. If you like the show, please tell a friend and leave a review in iTunes so that we can continue to bring you amazing episodes. Thank you for listening. See you next week, Gwen.